Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light, and don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, now available at beer retailers throughout Pennsylvania. I'm Jim Galante, and with Greg Pickle for Ask Greg, brought to you by DraftKings. And the gyms may not be full, but there's definitely no shortage of madness this college basketball season. For us fans, the college basketball powers that be have gifted us what a top matchup between two major powerhouses. This weekend, Gonzaga and Baylor will be going toe-to-toe for what could be the nation's top ranking. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is bringing you closer to the action with this can't-miss offer. DraftKings Sportsbook giving all college basketball fans who sign up now the chance to win $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win this clash. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code KSN when you sign up for your shot to turn $1 into $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win. That's right. Bet a dollar, win $100. Use promo code KSN during sign-up to take advantage of this great offer for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. That means it's time to Ask Greg, and we've got a great new prize. We started it last week. It's a fabulous 16-ounce pewterware mug with the iconic We Are cast on it. Thank you to the folks at thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for providing them. All right, Greg, you ready for the question, sir?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with Dave from Lehigh Valley, who says, Greg, finally a win. After watching this game, do you think this win is more of a reflection that Penn State has turned a corner and can really build on this moving forward? Or is it more a product of the downward trend of the Michigan program?
Yeah, I mean, I think you do have to weigh those two things when assessing this win, because Michigan, Jim, like, we heard they were bad and we had heard they had a lot wrong. But until you actually watch it, I don't know if you can appreciate how much bad there is there. I mean, I don't know what your main takeaway was, but to me, it was just like, how is this program ever going to get back to where they want it to be? I mean, they are just not very good at anything. And I know they've recruited well, and I know they got some talent there, but man, Don Brown used to be one of the most feared defensive coordinators in the country. And Jim, it looked like you or I were coordinating that defense out there last Saturday. So I think it is something for Penn State to build on. And that's because we've seen some of the things that they used to win at Michigan in previous games, and that it just wasn't showing up consistently. So I think that's, something you can build on, that these positives keep showing up. But yeah, I think you also do have to recognize as well that Michigan is just a very, very, very not good football team, and that played a role for sure.
Very not good. I'll just call them bad. Greg, what I saw, it reminded me of the Penn State in their 0-5 start, questionable quarterback play, getting beat at the line of scrimmage, missed tackles. There was a lot of bad there, which leads us to Kurt, who was also from Lehigh Valley, who says, when Harbaugh was hired, I was worried. Should I now hope he stays?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would be thrilled if Jim Harbaugh stays at Michigan at this point. You know, he just, again, for all the talk and all the hype and everything like that, it just has not worked out in any way, shape, or form for Michigan since he's been there. I mean, they have just not been able to get over the hump, and they've really struggled to even get close to that point. So, I think that obviously for Penn State, you know, they will take whoever is in Ann Arbor, but you know, they're not going to worry too much about that. But yeah, I don't think it would hurt if Jim Harbaugh stuck around out there for a bit longer. And I think Ohio State and other Big Ten East Conference coaches and schools would feel the same way.
Not fearful of them. Continuing on that theme, Brad from Dearborn Heights says, hey, Greg, I'm so happy that we got our first win versus the Fighting Khakis. I like that. Anyway, that said, can we finally be done with the goal line fade route? Is James calling that, or is that the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly think it's the offensive coordinator. And we'll get the chance to talk to Kirk Sciarca this Thursday. He's the assistant coach who is available. So we'll get a chance to fire some of those questions at him and get some more info. But yeah, at this point, I would think that, you know, it's pretty clear that Kirk Sciarca wants that play to work. And like we talked about previously, it's just not working for whatever reason. And they seem like they are... They are convinced that it is eventually going to work, and it's just a matter of time. I'm just not sure that it is.
All right. Let's get to another Brad. This Brad's from Perkasy. First, I'm so happy that we beat Michigan. That's a very common theme going on there, Greg.
Yes.
But anyway, second, in watching all of our games, it looks like the corners are not taught to wrap up when tackling. They drive at the runner's feet from an angle. Why is this? It seems like we have a lot of missed tackles with this, and he has it in quotes, technique.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of missed tackles over the last few years of the Brent Pry defense with Brent Pry's defenses, and I'm not exactly sure why that is, but yeah, I mean, that's been a kind of a problem for, you know, a couple of years now. And, you know, I remember James Franklin, it goes back to like 15 or 16 when he would talk about how they changed to thud tackling and they didn't want to hurt, get guys hurt and have them on the ground and stuff like that. And that was kind of blamed as a problem. But yeah, I mean, they just missed too many tackles and it looks like it's poor technique. And I guess you can blame, you know, the shutdown and not having a normal spring practice and not practicing the way you normally do and all that. But, you know, because missed tackles are up across college and the NFL, it's not just Penn State. But yeah, that's an area where I think they've been trying to improve that for a while and have not been able to do it for whatever reason. But it is one of those problems that shows up almost without fail every single week.
I've had a theory on this, and this might be a grumpy old man talking, but it seems like players, and this has been going on for a while on defense, are looking to blow up the runner as opposed to tackling him. So they go in, they hit, and they don't wrap up, and oftentimes the running back or receiver bounces off the tackle. There was a specific play in this game, I believe this is what he was referring to, when Michigan was getting set to score, I believe, their first touchdown. It was inside the 10-yard line, and one of the DBs had a direct hit on the Michigan player around the 5-yard line. He never wrapped. And the receiver running back ended up on getting about 3 or 4 extra yards because of it.
So yes, there's a lot of that going on for sure.
It is frustrating to watch. All right, let's go with Mike from Littleton, Colorado. And despite the win, he seems to still have some concerns. He says, "Hey, Greg, what is the word on the street about the locker room? Morale? Transfers, acceptance of new coaches?" Essentially, I think he's asking what is going on that led to those 5 losses to start the season.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those questions that we just kept getting, Jim, over and over and over again. Well, what's really wrong with Penn State, and what's the real reason that they're 0-5, and what's really the problem? And you know, I think a lot of people want there to be this grand, you know, either conspiracy or, you know, problem or thing that they could point to. It's just a bad football team, and it obviously was played better in a win over Michigan, and I think there's some things to build on that could make them a better football team by the end of the season, but some of the warts are still there, and they also beat another bad football team, so I don't think there's locker room problems. I don't think there's coaching staff problems, at least not as it relates to the players and the coaches getting along. I just think that this is a football team that lost a ton of its top talent. Its depth of development has not been great, and that led to some players who were not ready to play seeing significant snaps because they were the next guy up. So, yeah, I don't really think there's anything more to read into this season than that. And they got into some bad spots with some between recruiting misses and then guys either opting out or being injured, and it's made for a tough go of it. There's no doubt about that.
Well, Greg, the announcers for this game, they made reference multiple times to the Indiana game and losing that game, and that kind of created a downward spiral, especially when you're playing Ohio State the following week and all of a sudden you're 0-2 and losing has, just like there could be positive momentum, there could be negative momentum. How much credence do you put it in that, into that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've heard James Franklin talk about that idea, too, that once you lose that shot at the playoff because you're 0-2 after 2 weeks, I'm sure it is extremely tough to focus. And I'm sure that it's very difficult to, I'm sure it's very difficult to go in there every day and give the same amount of effort that you were giving prior to your, you know, when you had hopes for the college football playoff and the Big Ten title game and all that. So, yeah, I thought the announce crew over this weekend was pretty awful, by the way. I mean, how many times did they call the wrong guy or say a Penn State player was on Michigan or vice versa? I mean, it was pretty brutal as far as I was concerned. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that that played a role.
Greg, I think you're used to being at the game, so you're just not used to the bad announcing.
Yes, that's true.
I think every week. And you hit upon one of my favorite things when they're obviously looking at the wrong roster when announcing a Penn State defender has tackled a Penn State offensive player. All right, here's a little bit different type of question. This comes from Art from Ebensburg. A thought experiment, Greg. It's the final drive of an important game, and Penn State has to score a touchdown to win. Which quarterback from the 2000s would you want to lead this drive? He says his choice would be Michael Robinson, but let's see. You also have Trace McSorley. You have Matt McGloin. You have Darrell Clark. Who am I missing? I guess Zach Mills?
Yeah. I think I would go with Michael Robinson, Jim.
Why?
Oh, you know, I just think it'd be fun to see him play again. And obviously, you know, Trace McSorley would be probably a logical pick as well. But I've seen Trace play, of course. I think we all have. And I would like to see Michael Robinson lead that drive. So I'd go with him. But I don't think you could go wrong unless you picked, there's a couple of guys.
Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what, the choice of Michael Robinson, I agree with that also. I don't know if you remember there was the Michigan game where Michigan won with 2 seconds to go. And speaking of controversial officiating, that game had it. But prior to that, if my memory is correct, Michael Robinson led the team down the field and just would not be denied. He was one of my favorite Penn State quarterbacks, so physical, so strong. And if it was 3rd and 2, that short yardage situation, somehow, some way, he would find a way to get the first down. So that's a good question, Art, and I think we both agree with you on Michael Robinson. All right, that is it for quarter number 3. Quarter number 4, we're going to look forward to the Rutgers game, and we're going to announce our winner. Stay tuned.
Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up for your shot to turn $1 into $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win. That's code KSN during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.